Well, a very special thank you to our brother Aaron and also to the girls for coming tonight and singing so well. It's one thing to sing with music, but it's a completely different thing to sing without music. And it's good to have one singer in the house, but to have four singers, well, that's an added bonus. We pray the Lord bless her, brother, and the girls as well. And the Lord will just use them for the Lord's honour and for the Lord's glory. He was talking here about getting lost, coming here, needing a sat-nav. Well, Christmas is coming up. You can speak to your wife. You never know what you might get for the Christmas season. But we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. I'll be going on tonight immediately after the meeting to speak at another meeting in Portadown, so we'll not be going to the door tonight. So apologise about that, but that meeting's at 8:30, so we'll be just going on after the meeting. But I want to just look at this passage of Scripture with you tonight that we read earlier, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And with the Word of God open before us, let us bow just please in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns. We thank Thee for the ministry and song. And bless our brother and the girls who brought these words. How good it is to be able to sing about a wonderful Savior. We pray that Thou bless our brother and his wife and family. Lead them on with Thyself and use them, Lord, for Thy glory and for Thine honour. Lord, as we turn now to Thy word, cleanse me, Lord, in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God, and give help and enablement to preach your word, that souls may be saved, that believers may be edified, that their Savior himself would be exalted and magnified. In his name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text for this evening is verse number 10 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. It says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now the first event in our Lord's ministry that Matthew records after his baptism is his temptation by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The chapter tells us here how Satan attacked Christ whenever he was weak and hungry. Both Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel record three temptations in particular, though many Bible commentators would believe that there was many more temptations to Christ at this particular time. And as Christ himself was alone when these temptations took place, it must have been the Lord himself who spoke of them to both Matthew and Luke. Now the first temptation, Satan, he tempts Christ to obey him by trying to get him to turn the stones into bread. And Christ refuses that temptation by saying in verse number 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then in the second temptation, we see how Satan tempts Christ to take his own life by telling him to jump down from the pinnacle on the temple in Jerusalem. And by this particular temptation, Satan was seeking to prevent Christ from accomplishing his great plan of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And again, Christ refuses this temptation. If you look there at verse number 7, it says, "Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then in the third temptation, we see how Satan promises Christ all the kingdoms of this world if he will but fall down and worship him. And again, Christ refuses and rejects this temptation. And you have Christ's refusal of that temptation in the words of our text tonight in verse number 10. It says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And it is very interesting to note here that in all three of these particular temptations, that Christ himself, he quotes the scriptures from the Old Testament book, in particular the book of Deuteronomy. And he uses the scriptures here to rebuke and to rebuff Satan's attack upon him. And surely that would show to us all tonight the importance of knowing God's word. The importance of remembering God's word. How vital it is that every Christian reads their Bible. I trust and pray, child of God, in the meeting tonight, you are a reader of your Bible. That your Bible just isn't closed from Sabbath to Sabbath. How important it is that the Christian reads the Bible. How important it is that the Christian prays over the Bible, prays over the Word of God. How important it is that every Christian gets to know the Word of God and learn the Word of God for themselves. How important it is for our children, especially in children's meetings and in Sunday school classes, to teach the children the Word of God and to get the children to remember and to recite the Word, the living Word of the living God. Now this account has many important lessons for us all, but tonight I want us just to look at verse number 10. And there are three things that I want you to note from this verse tonight regarding Satan and his defeat. First of all, I want you to notice here tonight how this text, it speaks to you and I about the reality of Satan. And this is evident from the fact here that Christ mentions his very name in our verse. It says, then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, should Satan not exist, then you can be sure that Christ, who is the truth, would not have mentioned his name in this text. But the very fact that Christ here mentions his name when he said, get thee hence, Satan, it shows to you and I the reality, the existence of Satan. Now, people, can I say tonight that Satan is not some cartoon character dressed up in a red pajama suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork as you might see in a comic strip or in a newspaper? No, the Bible makes it very clear that he is a real person, that he is a spiritual being, possessing life, intelligence, power, and feelings. That's the reality of Satan. Indeed, in the Bible, he is given many titles. And God uses these titles to warn us of the reality of Satan. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 9, he's referred there in the verse 11 as to Apollyon or Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue, and that means the destroyer. Also in Revelation 9 and verse 11, he is called the angel of the bottomless pit. In other words, he's the chief of the demons of hell. In the book of Corinthians, he is referred to by the apostle Paul as Belial. And that name Belial means the reckless one, the lawless one. And you look at all the lawlessness in our land and the recklessness in our society tonight, the devil is behind it all. He's also referred to as the God of this world, one who has great power and sway over men in this world. In the book of Isaiah, he is described as Lucifer, and that means the shining one. In other words, he has great power to attract and great power to deceive. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12, and the verse 43, is referred to as the unclean spirit. He is the one who is behind all uncleanness and immorality in our land, in our nation, in our society. He is also referred to as the strong man depicting his power. He is also referred to as the wicked one. He is the one who is responsible for all wickedness in the nations of men. If you look at our Bible reading here tonight in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and the verse number 1, you'll see that he's referred to there as the devil. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the word devil there literally means the one who accuses, the one who is a liar. And that is his work of accusing Christ, accusing God, and accusing the saints of God, the church of Christ. Again, if you look there at verse number 3, you'll see that he's referred to as the tempter. It says, and when the tempter came to him, that is, came to Christ, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And the word tempter means literally to try or to prove or to get one to fall. In the chapter here, his aim was to try and get Christ, the sinless Son of God, to fall. And in his attack upon God's people and upon the Christian, his attempt is to get the believer to fall spiritually. And then again, if you go down to our text tonight here in Matthew chapter 4 and the verse number 10, we have the very name of Satan itself. And the word Satan literally means adversary. Or if you like, opponent, the one who opposes. The one who is an opponent of God and all the things that are of God and are of Christ. Yes, people, tonight we can say that the devil is a very powerful being. We must never underestimate his power. He's a very powerful being. But let it be known, let it be said that he is not all powerful. It is only God who is all powerful, who is almighty. The devil is powerful, but he is a finite creature. You see, he was one of the fallen angels that Peter speaks of in his epistle when he says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. And the Bible makes it very clear that Satan was created by God within the 6 days of God's creation. What does it say in Exodus chapter 20, the verse number 11? It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And Satan was created by God within the 6 days of God's creation. And the Bible tells us and shows us that he was one of high rank amongst the angels of God. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 and the verse 14, you read about Satan there, and it says this, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walkest up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And that speaks of Satan having a high rank amongst the angels of God. And the Bible also shows us how it was true pride. And through a desire for the worship of his own self in the place of God, that Satan sinned, and that Satan fell, and that Satan was cast out of heaven. Turn your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 14, and you'll see this for yourself. Isaiah chapter 14, in the verses 12 to 15, and here you read about the fall of Satan. It says in Isaiah 14 in the verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You notice there what Isaiah says about him in verse 14, how he said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And Satan sought to usurp the very power and the throne and the authority of God. And he fell and he was cast out of heaven. And again in the Gospel of Luke, Christ tells of this very fall. For he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And again his fall is mentioned for us in Ezekiel 28 verse 15, where it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. He was created perfect till iniquity was found in thee, and pride took over, and he sinned and fell, and was cast out of heaven. Oh, men and women in our meeting tonight, let me underline this tonight. Young people, boys and girls in this meeting, Satan is a fallen angel of God. And he is as real as you and I sitting in this meeting tonight. And it has rightly been said that to deny the fact of Satan is to deny the truth of the Scriptures.
In fact, to deny the reality of Satan is to deny the very words of Christ in our text tonight. When he speaks to you and I and warns us of the awful reality of Satan, when he says, "Get thee hence, Satan." Oh, see here, men and women, young people, boys and girls, the reality of Satan. Yes, we see the reality of Satan, but not only his reality. Secondly, tonight I want you to look here and see the work of Satan. What is the work of Satan? Look again at verse number 10 and notice what it says. "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And from the words there of Christ in that verse, you see something of the work of Satan. What is that work? That work is to prevent people from worshiping God. That's part of his work. It's to hinder people worshiping God. It is to prevent people from serving God. And by this, Satan wants people to worship him. Satan wants people to be his servants, to be his subjects. And by this was the whole thrust of his third temptation here to Christ. And verse number 9 of this chapter, where it says of Satan, "And he said unto Christ, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And in all of this, dear people, he leads people to worship anyone. And he leads people to worship anything but Christ. Despite what God says in the first and the second commandment. And dear people, that is why the teaching of Roman Catholicism is so fundamentally wrong. Because it is a false religion of which the devil is the architect behind, calling people to worship Mary, saints, and idols of man's own making and devising. That is the work of Satan. You see it here in our text tonight. And you'll see here also that from Christ's first temptation in verse number 3, you see here that Satan, he wants people to obey his word and to obey his will. And we see from verse 3 there that when Satan spoke to Christ, you see this, where he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." What is Satan's work? He wants men and women, he wants young people and boys and girls to obey his beck and call. Despite the very fact that the God of heaven is one who calls upon mankind to obey him. He says to mankind in the book of Jeremiah, "Obey my voice." God wants man to live in obedience to him. But Satan wants to take men and women and young people away from this pathway of obedience. At the beginning of time, you think of how God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible tells you how Satan came in the form of a servant and he tempted Adam and Eve to disobey God's command and to take the forbidden fruit. And what were the words of Satan to Adam and Eve? "Ye shall not surely die," completely contrary to what God had commanded and God had said. And then you see also here tonight in Matthew chapter 4 from Christ's second temptation by Satan in verses 5 and 6. You see here that Satan's work is to destroy people's lives. And it is to keep them from ever having life eternal through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. You look at verses 5 and 6 there of Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And you see there that in that temptation, Satan wanted to destroy the very life of Christ. And why was that? You see, he wanted to keep Christ from fulfilling God's great plan of redemption through the blood of the cross, through Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary. And men and women, young people, that is the work of Satan. He wants people to be kept away from the worship of God, from serving God. He wants to keep people away from obeying God. He wants to destroy people's lives. He wants to keep them away from finding life eternal and life more abundant through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. That's his strategy. That is his work from the beginning of time and is his work until the very end of time. Oh, dear unsaved friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This is the work of Satan. And his aim is to destroy your life. That's the aim of Satan for your life. To destroy your life through sin. His aim is to damn your soul in hell. That's his plan for your life. And he will use anyone and anything to do that. The Bible speaks of Satan and says he is a murderer from the beginning. And he will do all he can to keep you from trusting in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. He will sow all kinds of lies into your heart and mind to keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior. The Bible speaks of Satan and says he is a liar and the father of it. Now Satan is one and he wants to control your life. He wants to control your thoughts. He wants to control your words. He wants to control the deeds of your life. Satan wants you to be his servant. He wants you to be his subject. You turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 2. You'll see this for yourself from the Word of God. And here Paul is speaking to the unsaved and that were in Ephesus, speaking about them in their unsaved state before they became Christians. And he says this in Ephesians 2 verse 2. "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." Notice these words. "According to the prince," that's the devil, "of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He speaks of those in their unsaved state, under the power, under the authority, as servants of the devil, servants of the prince of the power of the air. Dear unsaved friend, understand this. Satan's desire is that you would worship him. Satan's desire is that you would not worship God. He does not want you to worship God. He does not want you to serve God. And to do this, he will lead you into all kinds of sin. And he will lead you into all kinds of evil. Again, remember the words of Christ. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He is called the tempter, and he will do all he can to lead you into sin and that which is evil and contrary to God, to keep you from serving God, to keep you from worshiping God. You think of the betrayal of Christ by Judas Iscariot. Who was it that put that betrayal into the heart of Judas Iscariot? It was the devil. Because the Bible says the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. The devil was the architect behind it. Dear friend, you need to understand tonight that the devil is the architect behind every sinful thought, every sinful word, and every sinful deed that you have ever committed. That is the work of Satan. And I tell you tonight, he is one that can lead you into sin in a moment of time. That's the way he works. You turn in your Bible back to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4, and the verse number 5, and you will see that there for yourself regarding the temptation of Christ by Satan. For it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and the verse number 5, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world." Notice these words, "in a moment of time." That is the work of Satan. Oh, see tonight from our text his reality. Satan is not to be laughed at, I tell you. He is not to be mocked at. See his work tonight. In our text, it was all against Christ, to stop Christ from worshiping God and serving God. Dear friend, that is still the same tonight. That is his work. He wants to stop you from serving God, from worshiping God. He wants to ruin your life and sin. He wants to damn your soul in hell. That is his strategy. That is his plan for your life. But finally tonight, as we look at this text again, I want you to see the defeat of Satan. If you look at what is said there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and the verse number 10, it says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." In this passage here of Scripture in Matthew 4, you see that in every temptation, Satan is defeated by Christ. In verse number 10, our text, Christ says, "Get thee hence, Satan." In verse number 11, the very next verse, it says, "The devil leaveth him." And what does that show us? What does it teach us? It shows us that the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the word of Christ, is the only one who can give victory and triumph over Satan. Praise God, yes, there's a day coming when Satan will be utterly defeated and destroyed and cast into hell, the bottomless pit, forever and ever. And he will never, ever again attack God or the people of God. You turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 20 and to the verses 2 and 3, you'll see mention made of this. Here you read of Satan being bound for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. And look at what is said there in verses 2 and 3 of Revelation 20. "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." There you're told how after 1,000 years he will be loosed for a little while, for a little season. But if you go down to verse number 10, it tells of him there being cast into hell forever. In Revelation 20, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's the Antichrist, "the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And that speaks of the final rout of Satan, cast into hell forever and ever. But dear people, until that time, the way that you can know victory over Satan in your own personal life is for you to repent of your sins, for you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then when you're saved, stay close to God. Stay close to His Word and give yourself up to prayer and to seeking the Lord. In the book of the Revelation, it speaks of those who are in heaven. And what does it say about them in Revelation 12 in the verse number 11? It says, "And they overcame him," that is, overcome Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb," that's by the blood of Christ, "and by the word of their testimony," by living in obedience to the word of God and the testimony of Christ. That's the way to victory over Satan in your life. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of Christ there as the seed of the woman, bruising Satan's head. And that speaks of Christ's victory over Satan through his redeeming work, his redeeming sacrifice upon the cross. Dear friend, whenever you repent of your sin and trust Christ as Savior, God, He forgives all your sins. He saves your soul from hell. He gives you a home in God's heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then in your Christian life, as you give yourself to prayer and to living by God's word, depending upon His grace, God by His Holy Spirit will give you grace to resist the devil's temptations and to live day by day in your Christian life to the glory of God. What does it say in the Epistle of John? It says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Satan to Jesus,
must bow. Where do you find victory over Satan? And over his attack and his strategy upon your life and upon your soul. You find it, dear friend, not in yourself. You find it not in man. You find it not in this church or any other church. You find it, dear friend, in the person of Christ. In the work of Christ. In the very word of Christ. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, you read there of the man of Gadara, the man of the Gadarenes. The Bible tells us how he was possessed with a legion of devils. That's 1,000 devils. Humanly speaking, that man's case was hopeless. It was helpless. Nobody could do anything for him. They could not tame him. People were afraid of this man. Until he met with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Bible tells you how he was gloriously saved and delivered and transformed by the grace of God. And when he is saved, the Bible speaks of the man of Gadara and it says this. He was clothed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And he was in his right mind and he went on to serve the Lord, to spread the gospel, to be a witness for his Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ made the difference in his life. Dear friend, Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, I tell you this, can make a difference in your life. There's power in the blood of the cross to save your soul, to cleanse away your sin, to deliver you out of the bondage and out of the servitude of Satan's kingdom and Satan's sway and power in your life. You think of that hymn that we were singing about earlier on at the beginning of our meeting and speaks of Christ. It says, for the Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again. Friend, unsaved in our meeting tonight, man or woman, boy or girl, young person, repent of your sins. Trust in Christ, the Son of God, and know your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be rescued out of Satan's sway and Satan's kingdom. Know your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved by God's grace for time and for all of eternity. We're just going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one in our gathering tonight, dear friend, and you're not saved, and you know and you feel your need of Christ, you know the devil wants to damn your soul in hell and ruin your life through sin, then I urge you tonight to come to the foot of the old rugged cross and put your faith and trust in Christ, the Lamb of God. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence in this meeting tonight. We thank thee, O God, for the victory of Christ over Satan and over the powers of darkness and over the powers of hell. We thank thee that Christ is indeed the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who breaks every chain, who gives us victory again and again. We thank thee for every soul in this meeting who has trusted Christ, who is leaning upon Christ, who is looking forward to his coming again. Lord, for any in this meeting still unsaved, still in the devil's crown, still in the devil's kingdom, O God, we pray tonight that they might repent of their sin and believe the gospel and close in with Christ and trust him as their own and personal Savior. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, depart us with thy fear and with thy favor, O God. Take us to our homes in safety, we pray this night. And Lord, while the voice of man is silent, O God, we beseech of thee, speak on. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen.